T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international depression.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon. After hopefully everyone had a safe and successful Labor Day weekend, we start the show on this Tuesday, even though I'm going to say it feels a little like a Monday. Feels like a Monday to me. Sue, how are you this afternoon?
I am doing really well, thank you.
Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. I did the tour of the hill.
Oh,
for
yeah.
The normal bikers.
For the Gateway Cup.
And then we got to see some of the Gateway Cup. It was great. Perfect weather. It was delightful.
Now, you know, I was in Chicago, and I'm going to tell a couple of stories from that trip. I have some weekend observations, but it was a terrible day on Saturday here, wasn't it?
Yeah. Thankfully, this was Sunday. And part of the, we did the 31-miler. You could do 4, 18, 31, or 51. And ours took us through Forest Park, so we got to see all the flags.
Oh, yeah. I saw some of the pictures of that.
Just
very cool.
Really moving. So
right.
It was great.
So a good weekend overall. Dave, how about you?
Good weekend. Can't complain. I mean, Saturday was a wash,
yeah,
as everybody knows. But just spent all weekend out at the farmland.
Okay. Well, you're a farmer now, so I've got several things on my mind. I have a school topic that is near and dear to my heart right now, but I want to make some weekend observations. Okay.
How was
make
the
some
trip?
Weekend observation. Well, let me start with the first thing that happened on Friday night. So as you might remember, my daughter came down here on Friday night. And we left from here, so we get into Illinois, and my wife had not filled up the car with gas. So I was aware that she said, look, I don't have time.
Okay.
But my daughter wanted Burger King, so I have not. Have you ever run out of gas?
Not while I was driving,
okay.
While he was driving, and we were across the street from a gas station.
Wow.
And it was one of his old cars that, the gauge doesn't work particularly well, and I'm on the edge of my seat. I hate that.
Quick observation. Filling up in Illinois, probably not the best idea.
No, I know that, Dave. But so I was. Here's the option, though. Think about it. I'm downtown. She pulls into our building right here. The closest gas station is the one down the street where people get shot all the time. And that's not an exaggeration.
I'd rather pay 30 cents more and not die.
Exactly. But so
I've been there, and I'm still alive.
We get on the road, and I sort of hit search on the navigation and said, where's the nearest Burger King? And it said 72 miles. So I told Alexa, I'm like, look, we have to get gas. She wasn't super hungry. I said, we could wait for Burger King if you want. We'll just get a snack. So at that point, I decided I'm pulling over no matter what. Well, I just happened to make that decision during a 15-mile stretch, apparently, where there is nothing. There's no gas station.
Oh,
so
I'm starting to sweat.
The low fuel thing comes on, and then the second thing comes on that says, you are about to run. I don't know what it said. So I'm thinking in my mind, look, these modern cars, you probably have a tank or two. I don't know, though. Because I have a big SUV. This thing gets probably 16 miles to the gallon.
So you are beyond the red. Like, mine will say you have 50 miles left and then count down from there.
Yeah, it didn't say that.
Does it not do that?
Basically, here's the message that I interpreted. You are a complete idiot. Stop and get gas right now because you're going to run out. And I had not been that nervous about running out of gas. So we finally get off, and I'm barely hitting the gas. You know, I'm just kind of letting the car roll as much as possible. We get the gas. I look over. So I pull out after getting the gas, and I tell Alexa, I'm like, all right, We're okay. Oh. Let's find a Burger King. I look over. There's a Burger King right there.
Oh.
Like right there. I can't remember which exit this was. So this leads me into my second weekend observation. And I think we're seeing what I'm about to describe happen on a regular basis everywhere. And it what happened the other night made me sad. And I felt like I was a part of it. And I'll tell you what happened. So we go into the line for Burger King, maybe five cars deep. You know, it wasn't terrible. And the first thing I see, I tried to take a picture of this, but the wind was pulling the flap of the paperback, was a sign on the deal where you order, whatever that, the menu board or whatever you call it, the kiosk, that said, and this was probably 7:15, something like that, we are closing early tonight at 9 o'clock because we had an employee walk out.
Oh,
that's what
geez.
It said. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So we make the order. Alexa likes the chicken fries. I get a couple of cheeseburgers, and we decide to get some milkshakes. We get up there. The fries aren't ready, so the young girl goes, honey, can you pull out in front? She was honeying me, which I'm not totally down
it's
with
okay.
that, but that's okay.
You know.
I don't make a big deal out of it. So we pull around, and I'm not a – Dave, you know I'm not a patient person.
I
was
correct.
Pretty, but I was – I understood. I really I saw the
Good.
Sign that said we had some guy walk out. So I start rearranging things in the car, and – you know, I'm looking, and the cars are building up. There's a long line in this, you know, parking lot. And 10 minutes go by, and 15 minutes go by, and then there's like 20 minutes that have gone by. So I try to open the door. You can't even get in because you only have the drive-thru. So I finally get their attention. She comes out, and I said, you know, and I was a little sure. I said, I think you forgot about me because, okay, hon.
Yeah.
And she goes inside. So she brings, then it's another 5 minutes. She brings the order out.
So this is 30 minutes later we're talking?
25 minutes
okay.
later. So the milkshakes come out, and, then she finally, when I told her, here's what happened. So my daughter is watching this, and I said, the milkshakes aren't in here. And I wasn't, like, yelling at her or anything.
Right.
I was a little frustrated, right? But I think she might have started crying. And my daughter says to me, was she crying? And I'm like, I felt terrible.
Okay.
And I'm like, God, I hope not. Because, there was a point where I was adjusting my reaction because I felt that she felt terrible, and I didn't want her to feel terrible. I really didn't. But I bring this story up because it's happening on a regular basis. I mean, you can't get good help, and the help that's there, even if they're good, they're having problems because people aren't showing up or people don't want to do their jobs. These are our sons and daughters.
Yeah.
These are our kids that are working at these stores. So I actually, believe it or not, I do put myself in a situation where I try to think, wait, I don't want to be a complete ass because
good.
I can be,
good.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because that's someone, it's not their fault.
It isn't.
I felt horrible after I left this Burger King. I wanted to go in and give this girl a hug and say,
yes.
Look, I understand.
And they're working their butts off, too.
See, that's just
They
it.
Were jam-packed, right? Jam-packed. And the amount, I could see the amount of stress
that's
that
just
was
it.
Just coiling up in her body. And I tried to take a picture because I was going to say something. So I went up to the door because sometimes they say if you have comments for the, you know, the franchisee.
Oh, gosh.
Because I was going to tell the person who owns the place, hey, look, your employees are getting killed here, and I don't blame them. But here's what's happening. But what are they going to say? They're going to say, look, we can't find workers. We got people that are walking out. Now, what could have happened? Some ass like me comes up, yells at an employee. The employee's like, I've had enough.
I don't need this.
I can't take this anymore, right?
Here's the thing. And then the rest of the people, like this poor dedicated person, ends up doing double, triple the work, is overwhelmed, and it just is just right on the raw edge. She's about to lose
right,
it.
Right, right.
That's terrible.
I felt terrible. So that was one weekend observation, a couple. Then we go to Pontiac, where I got a hotel. And there at the Pontiac exit, which is north of Bloomington.
Oh, yeah.
There's this place called Wally's. Okay?
Wait. Was Fred talking about a Wally's? Remember this?
Wally's Nugs?
Well, yeah, I think, did you get Wally's Nugs while you were there?
All I know is, and you're going to, Dave, this is going to come full circle. So I don't know what Wally's Nugs are, but I think that sounds dirty, Sue. Thank you very much. This is a family
Fred
show.
Fred did it.
So it's this, I mean, this thing is about the size of half of a Walmart superstore.
Yeah. Fred has encountered
and
one.
And there are things everywhere, and the kids love it. It's ginormous.
It's like a mall meets a gas station?
It's like a mall meets a gas station. So the kid, we go up there, and we're getting a couple of things, you know, to take to the hotel room. And the kid says, this might have been the next morning when we were leaving. And the guy says, I said, well, this place is big. And he goes, well, this is our first location. The second one is about to open in
St. Louis.
Fenton, Missouri.
Yeah.
And then I remembered.
That's okay. That's right. That's,
we had the mayor from Fenton tell us this a couple of weeks ago. And if you're driving on 44 West right now and you're passing 270, you're going to see a billboard that says, and it's got this cute little bear mascot that says Wally's coming soon.
So, Sue, I think Fred went to Bucky's.
Oh.
Bucky's Nugs.
Okay.
That's
similar.
What it was. Yes, see, and I think Bucky's might be a little bit bigger.
Was that in Texas?
Yeah, I think so.
Atlanta.
No, Atlanta.
Okay. Atlanta.
Because my son was telling me about a place down in Texas that was very similar.
Yes.
Okay.
So, in other words, this is one of those places where the kids are going to say, let's stop at Bucky's or let's stop at Wally's.
Oh, wow.
And I remembered that the mayor of Fenton, I'm forgetting
his
name, had told us about that. So that, I thought that
was
interesting.
Were you impressed by it?
Okay, first of all,
it was a little overwhelming. In my mind, now again, our mind plays tricks on us. I think I saw a meat counter full of beef jerky.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's
like,
my
it wasn't
kind of place.
Steaks and chicken and stuff like that. It was like a whole meat counter with beef jerky.
So well, you didn't. Here's the good news: there were no Wally Nugs to get. It's a
Bucky's Nugs.
I'm not going to say that because I can neither confirm or deny the Wally's Nugs. Okay,
right,
I did not see
right.
that. Let me back up just a little bit, okay? Because there's a couple of themes that are going to cross over here from this trip. The one thing that I noticed from the very beginning, right? I wanted to notice. I'm like, okay, I'm in J.B. Pritzker land here. I come from the land of the free in Missouri, where I haven't worn a mask in months, right? Maybe a couple of times here in the city of St. Louis or in the county when we were in this weird territory a couple of weeks ago before the judge ruled. So I'm thinking, well, everyone's going to be wearing masks in Illinois.
Yeah.
Nope. Nobody was wearing masks in Illinois. Nobody was wearing masks at the Wally's. Nobody. When I say nobody, it was 10%,
okay.
15%, 20%. I go to Chicago. I'm thinking, I'm in the suburbs
that's
of Chicago.
What I'm thinking.
Arlington Heights, Illinois, right? And I'm at a hotel there, and nobody's wearing masks, all right? Maybe a few people are wearing masks. And by the way, even in the locations like the stores, the convenience store that I would go into, the employees didn't have masks on either.
Okay.
Just
I'm surprised by that.
I am, too.
I was a little surprised by that. What does that tell you? People have moved on. They have had enough of this nonsense, and they're moving on.
Yes.
Okay. So that was one thing.
Then he gets some of the beef jerky.
I'd rather have a Bucky Nug. Wait. No.
The other thing that happened was, have you guys driven across Illinois at night? I hadn't done this in a while.
At
but
night?
As you start to get to Bloomington, Illinois, I think it's all these windmills. It looks like you're landing on another planet because there's red lights that blink on and off, and they go on for miles.
I've seen them when I've taken the Amtrak.
Oh yeah,
up to Chicago. I've seen them, and it's a weird sight.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm in the middle of Illinois where I'm expecting boredom and cornfields and bugs. The amount of bugs that landed on my windshield.
Oh, it's disgusting.
That's what I want to see. I don't want to see these blinking red lights that haunt me for miles and miles on my commute. I thought it was kind of creepy.
On the side of the road at night, and they're just like on each.
Because they probably have to because
windmill?
Of the FAA.
Oh, sure.
The other question is, are those windmills really doing anything in Illinois? Okay, are they really doing anything?
Well, they're fine while there's wind.
By the way, I'm only half joking about being annoyed by those lights. It was weird to me
it
was there. Then on Sunday afternoon, so I got to see my mom and dad, my sister, my family. My sister almost killed my daughter. That was another thing that happened this weekend. Dave, did you see the picture? Sue, did you see the picture?
No.
What?
You're kind of...
All right.
You're kind of burying the lead here.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So there's her face right there. You saw her on Friday. Her face looks a little different.
What happened?
So my sister has golden doodle, labradoodle, doodles of some sort, and they are very energetic. And
doodles
when
Dave.
I went to visit my friends on Sunday afternoon. She took my daughter with her. And the dogs busted out of the bedroom upstairs, knocked her down the stairs.
Oh.
The good news is...
Knocked her down the stairs?
Yeah, the good news is I think there's going to be a settlement. I don't think I'm going to have to get Mark Cantor involved with a personal injury. I think because it's, in the family, we'll be able to come
and
to
they
some...
Were,
they weren't
hunting her. They were just excited to see her, and she's a small individual.
There'll be some small settlement that comes out of that, maybe large, eventually. But then as I'm
sitting... Well, you deserve it.
Well, exactly, Dave. She's okay. She really is okay.
She's okay.
Her nose... She fell down the stairs is what happened. So
she's used to dogs.
Right. The dogs knocked her down the stairs, and my sister felt terrible, which is why I'm talking about it, because I want her to feel maybe even a little worse about it, but she's doing good. And then I got together. This is my final weekend observation, okay, and it's baseball related. I got together with these guys that I've known since second grade. I moved into this house in Niles, Illinois, when I was in second grade, and guy that lived next door, Jim Janis, became a friend, lifelong friend, another kid, John Spacuzza, and one of our friends couldn't make it, but another guy, John Drufke, who we've known for a long time, we all got together, and I said from the beginning, I was the person that sort of helped organize this. I said, well, this, boys, we've got to do this because otherwise next time we're going to see each other is at a funeral, because we're getting, not that we're like on the cusp of dying. But you know what I mean.
I do.
Something happens, and then somebody passes away, and then you see people and you say, why didn't we get together sooner?
Here's what I'm not liking. That one layer of, what shall I say, just the next generation above us is the one that's kind of petering out, and that leaves only us to go into it, and I really don't care for that. I really like my uncles who are in their 80s. You know, it feels weird to be in the generation that's just
below. Yeah.
It's very weird, and I don't like it. My Uncle Dick called me over the weekend, and he's adorable. And he laughs like my dad, which makes me happy because my dad's been gone since 1995. But this is why he called. Sue! I said, yes, Uncle Dick, how are you? Listen, I thought of you the other day when I drove by, and your grandparents' house is getting a new roof. Now, my grandparents have been gone for 15 years. He just likes to keep me posted on their house.
That's
Isn't that
cute.
Not the sweetest?
That is nice.
So I had a nice conversation, but that's when it struck me. We are just below that, and it's not fun.
No, I don't like it either, but getting together, we're just sitting down. Before I sat down, I'm still paying attention to your playoff team, the Cardinals, Dave, because because you've been telling me, and Cusimano's been telling me. So they're starting to lose some hope here. They were going to win the series. I'm like, they're going to win the series against the Brewers. They were up, 5-1 yesterday? And then I sit down to have, a couple of, I had a non-alcoholic beer.
This was Sunday. Yes.
This was Sunday. And Scott Jennings, Mark Reardon Show insider, you see him on CNN, used to work for George W. Bush, Mitch McConnell, sent this Sunday 5:50 p.m. Now, at this point, I think the Cardinals have won this game. They've won the series against the Brewers. He says, September 5th, 2021, the day I deleted the MLB app from my phone. I always mark the occasion. Came a little earlier this year than I would have liked, but such is life. What a joke of a team.
Oh, that was the day of the walk-off grand slam.
Meltdown.
That's right.
Now, I said this, I think, when the Brewers played the Cardinals the last time a couple weeks ago. Good teams that make runs at championships, they do win games like that.
Like
teams
the Brewers.
That are terrible lose games like that, and I think that's what we saw. So there you go. Weekend observations right now as we get your week started. 97.1 FM Talk. A lot of stuff going on today. Billy Long, congressman. He's running for U.S. Senate. We have Sue's News. Carl Cannon from Real Clear Politics. Cusimano on this Tuesday, and much more.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
For those of you who follow on Twitter, it's at Mark Reardon, KFTK. Woke up in a little bit of a crabby mood, which is not really that unusual, about some school-related issues.
Oh, boy.
And yeah. I'm going to get to that here at 3:45. Plus, Sue, you might remember we had the parents group that was from Francis Howell on last week.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think I'd be able to get Dr. Hovind on, but he's the superintendent. We have some questions for him about the social studies curriculum, the history curriculum, whether it is related to CRT or not, and I believe that it is. In fact, I have some audio examples of that that we will provide to Dr. Hovind if he tries to maybe turn it in another direction, but I hope for a good conversation there a little bit later this afternoon. I mentioned Frank Cusimano in the next hour. We're joined right now by Missouri Congressman Billy Long of the 7th District. He, of course, is running for the Republican nomination for outgoing Senator Roy Blunt's seat. We're going to talk about a bunch of different issues. Congressman, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Mark. How you doing?
Fantastic. Did you have a nice Labor Day weekend?
Oh, yeah. You bet. Yeah, my daughter had a friend come down she'd been in school with, her and her husband, and they brought their baby, and I cooked out steaks for everybody over at our house on Sunday, so hadn't got to go fishing yesterday. It's a rarity, and this day of campaigning where I got to go fishing, but I actually got out on Table Rock Lake, did some bass fishing, and actually caught a few.
Okay, so we got to get details. Were they good sized fish? What were we doing? Table Rock's a tough lake because of that clear water, isn't it?
Well, it's a real good lake most of the year. August and September, the two worst months. So we caught 9, had 4 or 5 keepers. No size, I mean, other than just keepers. So talked to a buddy of mine that went. He had one between 3 and 4 pounds, which is bigger than anything we had. But, you know, for a nice, relaxing day on the lake, and it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's my passion that I just don't get to participate in very often. So I'm jealous and appreciative of what you were able to do on the water yesterday. Well, let's talk about some things that are happening right now. And obviously, I want to start with Afghanistan because this has been, a bit of a mess the last couple of weeks. Where do you think we are right now? And, Congressman, what do you think should happen next? Some people are calling for maybe a 9/11-style committee to investigate some of this. I think there's answers deserved, but what's the best path forward?
I think we definitely need to have investigations opened into what – I mean, the main thing that went wrong in Afghanistan is that 3-4 months ago they had meetings with the commanding officers, with their intelligence folks at the White House, with the Intelligence Committee in the House, Intelligence Committee in the Senate. For once in their life, Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes were on the same sheet of music. They said, we cannot close Bagram Air Base, sir. President argued with them, said, no, we're going to close Bagram, and then we're going to leave Afghanistan. And they said, you have the cart before the horse. We have to get our embassy people out. We cannot do that from a commercial airport down in the middle of Kabul. We got to get our Americans out. Every American that wants to leave, we need to get them out. And all of our Afghan interpreters that fought alongside of us for 20 years that want to get out, we need to get them out too. No. I'm going to close Bagram. Sir, you can't. It'll be a suicide mission. We have to use Bagram to get our folks out safely. We can leave Bagram and leave the country all on the same day. So finally, Biden said, well, all right, here, I'll make you a deal. I'll let you keep Bagram open, but I'm going to take it down to 600 personnel. And they said, okay, so we're leaving Bagram. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, we cannot safely operate Bagram with 600 people, so we are leaving, which we did. I think it was July 2nd or something. We just walked out. The Afghans were walking around with their mouths gapped open. What in the world are the Americans doing? And you saw the end result. 13 tragic losses of life that did not need to happen. One right there in Wentzville, Missouri, just absolute. It's impeachable. It was not necessary whatsoever. And I'd like to see President Biden and the last person in the room, a.k.a. Kamala Harris, both resign. Today, I see that the Taliban or the State Department is saying, well, we don't know if we're going to recognize the Taliban government right now. And I'm like, you know, they really don't want us to, they don't care about being recognized. All they care about right now is that we send them plane loads of cash to get out the Americans that we left behind that they're holding for hostage.
So you had, I saw a tweet that you shared earlier today from a colleague, Ronnie Jackson, who is from Texas, and you had a situation where you had a private team of military veterans that were able to go into Afghanistan and save a family, and then the State Department starts tweeting that they were involved more directly. So it seems like the administration is trying to take credit where credit is not due and put blame where blame is not due throughout this whole process as well.
That's exactly right. The State Department has fought us on getting people out and held people up. And then whenever Ronnie Jackson and some of the former Delta members are getting people out, then the state, oh, no, that was our idea. We're the ones that did that. I had dinner with Ronnie Jackson 2-3 weeks ago, not sure. Well, it was right before the bombing, whenever the suicide bomb went off, so 10 days ago or whatever. I had dinner with him 2 nights before that. We were driving to the restaurant there in Washington. He starts getting these tweets that would, or text messages, I'm sorry, that would curl your hair from people on the ground, former Delta guys he served with, that they said, you cannot believe how fast, this is before the suicide bombing, like 48 hours before, how fast it's deteriorating. They bombed our road we were using. They bombed our tunnels. We can't, everyone has to be out within 72 hours. Now, that predates August 31st by about 3 days, that 72-hour deadline. They said they're telling women and children to stay in the homes, in their homes. All men out are fair game. All military personnel are fair game. They're going to start, you know, executing people, shooting people, didn't care if it was American soldiers or who it was. And you saw the end result with the suicide bombing.
So, you know, I know you mentioned impeachment and resignation, and I understand the point about that, but I tend to be a political realist when it comes to situations like that. Is that even wise to be talking about those types of paths when the Democrats are in control of the House and the Senate?
Well, a resignation would have to come from the president. His cabinet could remove him with the 25th Amendment, but they're not want to do that because Kamala Harris would be president, which would tickle them to death. The Democrats would love to have Kamala as the first female president right now, but she would not have a vice president because her vice presidential pick would have to be selected by the House and the Senate. No-brainer in the House. They can get whoever she wants approved as VP. But you get to the Senate, now you're at a 50-50 tie with no tiebreaker. She's now president, so she can't break a tie. So that's why they're not going to use the everyone knows the mental state of this guy. Everyone knows he should not be in the position he's in as leader of the free world. But as far as impeachment, they impeached Trump twice for nothing, and it just, you know, when the Democrats are in control, you're not going to get 67 votes in the Senate to impeach the guy. But he needs to resign is what needs to happen.
Let's talk about some of the other things. Congressman Billy Long is with me. He's running for the United States Senate, of course, in Missouri as well. And I've asked your, you know, other colleagues, Ronnie Davis, Ann Wagner, to explain this, even Senator Blunt, because some of the tricks that Nancy Pelosi is trying to pull Billy on this reconciliation and the outrageous amount of spending. But where is this path taking us right now? And I always ask members of Congress to sort of explain it, because I think that people in the country right now are very confused by it.
Well, the budget reconciliation is done so that they don't have to have the votes on anything. And so that's exactly where we're going. More, you can't spend enough money to keep this Democrat Party happy. They're socialist and communist friends that are in the House. And so that's how they skirt around budgeting issues, is through budget reconciliation. And it's you saw the one budget reconciliation they did earlier this year, where she had a tunnel from her house up to Microsoft, or something from San Francisco to Microsoft, and bridges everywhere that in Canada and everywhere else. So they're going to try and pile everything in there they can. But they've got their plate full. They've got to increase the national debt before the end of September. They're going to, you know, have to shut down the government or come up with some kind of an agreement. And Joe Manchin is fighting back against this $3.5 trillion caboose that they tied on to a $1.2 trillion so-called infrastructure package. And we were in D.C. the week of the suicide bombing, and I just landed in Springfield on that Thursday, and I took off from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'd gone from D.C. to Charlotte into Springfield. And when I landed in Springfield, the bombing had happened, and I texted it Pelosi, and I said, "You've had us out here all week for absolutely nothing. You need to call us back now and let us deal with this." And Kevin McCarthy tried to get her to call us back. She said it was just all political, and she wouldn't do that. Ryan Mast, my good friend from Florida, Congressman Mast, that left his legs in Afghanistan, tried to read the 13 names on the House floor, and she shut him down from that. So the whole deal is get back the House, get back the Senate, and get back in control. Because when we're out of control, we have very, very little we can do. And as you know, I'm on this Billy Bus tour, and they're hollering at me now to get off here and come into the next courthouse here in Dadeville, where we are right now. So I'm going to have to take off in just a second, if it's okay with you. But I want to remind people to go to BillyLong.com, and they can stay up with us on the campaign trail, BillyLong.com.
All right, Congressman, I appreciate it. I know you're busy, so I appreciate you checking in. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, buddy.
The one thing I'm still, because I hear them all talk about what's happening with reconciliation in this budget, but I suppose I want to know what the end game is, and nobody knows how the votes are going to lay, you know, in the end. But the whole process is confusing. You know, he talks about how, obviously, you know, the Democrats have control right now. This stuff in the polling shows us it's not playing well with the American people, the spending, the level of spending, way that they're trying to do this. But I understand trying to take advantage of political numbers, which I guess is what Nancy Pelosi's doing.
That's
right now.
That's exactly right.
I just want to know how it's all going to kind of work out.
I know.
You can't get those answers yet because nobody really knows the answers. All right. We're going to take a break here, Sue, and then I'm going to get crabby about a school issue that I'm worked up about. We'll just leave it at that. It's coming up next. We may take some phone calls as well. 97.1 FM Talk.
You can't find the words to say on the
I think I've mentioned that my wife and I, pretty good candidates for worst parents in the world. Have I ever mentioned
that
before?
Well, yeah, but I haven't heard anything too convincing.
Well, so let me give you a perfect example of this, because sometimes we don't look at schedules too carefully. So we knew that Labor Day was a holiday. You and I were off yesterday.
That's...
Yeah, Labor Day is a holiday. We were off yesterday. Most of America was off, right? So school is off. So that was kind of because there's never been school on Labor Day. So we were getting together last week. Well, my wife was doing this. She's in charge of the school lunches, like packing stuff, deciding when Alexa's going to get lunch at school, all these things.
Okay.
So she looks at the lunch calendar, and it says for Tuesday, which is today, it says Labor Day, Monday, no school. And it says Tuesday, no school.
What?
That's, Rockwood. My daughter's in Rockwood. So this is Thursday night. We're having this conversation. I honestly thought I was being punked. I'm like, come on. There's no way. You know, I get it in my mind that I'm right. You know this. You've known me long enough now.
Yes. You're
not
going to probably... What does Diet Coke taste like?
Right.
Yes.
Even when I'm wrong, there's a great line in a Foster the People song, even when I'm wrong, I think I'm right, which is true.
Yeah.
So I thought, and I'm very self-aware too, which is important, but I thought there's no way. So I look at the school calendar. Sure enough, there is no school today. So I started the day today with a tweet asking people the question, hey, is Rockwood the only school district that doesn't have school today? Or are there other districts? Because I don't remember there being a situation where the day after Labor Day was also a day off, right?
Or is there some sort of teacher thing?
Of course there's a teacher thing. Of course. Because, Sue, let me explain something to you. The teachers, this is where I'm going to get in my, trouble. But I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm genuinely asking. I want someone out there, teacher, former teacher, somebody like that, to defend what I'm about to tell you, okay? 314-241-9797. We've had kids that have barely been in the classroom for 20 months. You had an entire summer to prepare. You have been in school for 10 days. You haven't been in school for 30 days or 45 days. You've been in school for 2 weeks, and you need a professional development day.
Well,
on
I'm
this
not
Tuesday.
Sure that they say that. I think
no,
it's
that
probably,
is what they say.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is the district may say there are X number of these days a year. When do you want to take them? And they just throw
well,
them in randomly.
Okay.
So you think
I'm going to ask that question though, because somebody responded when I said, "Is Rockwood schools off today or other districts?" Because if there's one thing that these kids need after the past 20 months, it's more days off, right? So somebody responded, "Another hot take: teachers need professional development time to make adjustments and better serve kids. Apparently, for every 10 days of teaching, 2 days off." Is that the pattern that we're going with right now?
Oh, boy.
And so this is where you're going to, a professional development day is not a day off. Teachers rarely have the time to meet with colleagues during a week in which they're teaching. When students are in the building, the job quite literally never stops. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But how about this compromise, okay? How about we have a development day after 6 weeks of classes and not just 2 weeks of classes, baby steps and all? It's ridiculous that this is happening. We should actually be going in the opposite direction. We should be telling the kids to go to school on Saturday. We should be pushing more time in the class. All right, so here's my question. 241-9797. Would anyone like to explain to me? Maybe I'm off base, Sue. Every once in a while I'm off base. Could someone explain to me how that's justified? How the teacher development day, and let's talk
question.
What really happens on the teacher development day that couldn't happen this early in the semester. 241-9797.
If you get X amount of these days a year as a teacher, would you be upset? So are you just not liking that it's this soon?
Yes.
So
yes.
You're okay with five,
well, there's another
there's
one in
five
October.
Days a year.
Yeah. Well, yes, I'm upset that it's this soon because we've had 2 weeks of
classes. So you don't mind
classes.
It being later. It's just that it's 2 weeks after classes started.
I think that's a big part of what my point is. Can you justify professional development days? Sure, but I'd say you can professionally develop during the summer, and that's what teachers do. They do. I mean, not all teachers take time off. They have to go through continuing education.
It's true. That's
they do
true.
Things like
My
that.
Mother.
I've never been a person that's just said teachers, have all this time off and they're not doing things on days like this. I understand that you probably have the requirement for some of that, but what's the priority? Is the priority getting the damn kids into school so they're learning, or is it so teachers can cavort and figure out strategies, I guess, to teach the kids? I don't know.
You know what
I
it
think
is,
you
Mark?
Should figure that stuff out a little bit before Labor Day. That's all.
I get it. I think, though, that what they were actually trying to do was give you a longer holiday. You were supposed to take today off as a parent, and you were getting a longer holiday.
And lest anyone think that I'm complaining about this because I had parent or childcare issues today. I was at home with my daughter the whole morning. It didn't make any difference to me. And my wife's taking over the afternoon. And she's only in first grade, so it's not that big of a deal. But I do think it's more than a little questionable that you have more and more of these days that are creeping in when you should be heading in the other direction. I'm just stunned by it. Let's see if I can take some calls. Dave's in the other room, though, taking them. So hang on here. This is one of those things that I've only done a few times, and I've not done it well, as you know, so I have to grab
that's all right.
the phone because I'm the guy that's running my own board here. This is very professional. Angel, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. I don't even know if I did this correctly. We'll find out. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
I work in a school. I'm not a teacher. However, I've been in the school system for a number of years. And so you have your Department of Elementary and Secondary Education requirements, and then you have your calendar committee, which meets so you can meet those particular professional development days.
Right.
As well as kind of break it in the calendar, and some are whole days, some are like early release days or half days.
Right. Why do you need one 10 days after classes start? Do you know that answer? That's the answer I'm trying to get from Dr. Ricker at Rockwood right now. Now, somebody online said, well, better to have a disruption like this than, you know, in another week because we already have a disruption. At least they were admitting it was a disruption, right? You understand my point? I get all this stuff for professional development days because I've heard about it for years. What I don't get is why it has to happen now and then another one in 4 weeks. Let's just limit them. Let's put a little cap on the professional development days. Sue, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah. The number of days is mandated by the state or the amount of hours, so you don't have a choice for that. A lot of times what school districts will do is put them on the end of a three-day weekend or something like that to give parents a chance to, if they want to take a short out-of-town trip or something, they have a chance to do that during the school year. So that's probably why they tacked it on at the end of this.
But
this
when would they have done that, though? When would they have done something like that? I mean, that calendar is not put together, you know, 2 years in advance, right?
No, the calendar usually comes out by the end of the previous school year.
So I'm the person, let's say I'm on the calendar committee, right? I'm a calendar committee chair, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, these kids haven't even, like, especially the high school kids, they really haven't been in class very often. So let's give them a day off here so the teachers can get together and keep these kids out of the classroom another day. The only thing worse is in Illinois, where they're, did you know this? I didn't talk about this the other day. They're giving kids 5 mental days off a year.
What?
5 mental days off. You don't even need an excuse. 5 of them. Anyway, thanks for the call.
No problem.
Patty,
so I was right.
Well, but still, really, they don't have
I
to put
I still them. See your point.
Here, I got a day for you. How about the day after Thanksgiving? You can use that as a professional
development
day.
Yeah, I wonder if they have
day.
That. That's a good
no,
question.
No, they don't, because that's a holiday, too. Patty, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Patty?
Oh, hi. Sorry.
That's okay.
You know what? I was an educator, and I'm just going to say it could be that there's somebody available to give them a day of learning of something new that's coming in the district. Like when we went to a computer school, we had professional development so that all the teachers could hopefully be as good as the students already were on computers. And so it could be that something that's going to be happening this year needed to be trained this early, and that's why they did it.
Okay. Well, I put a request out to my superintendent, my interim superintendent, thanks for the call, and I'll see if I get a response on that. I'm not sure that I will. I'd like one, though, because it's a legitimate question. I'd like to know, maybe this is sounding too crazy, I'd like to know what happened during the professional development day. Now, what that person is referring to, Sue, is what happened in the Francis Howell School District. It actually ties in beautifully, because what happened in the Francis Howell School District is they brought in a guy who pushes critical race theory, and he did this whole deal back in March. You know, it's interesting. I have the timestamp on that. I bet that was a day, May. I think it was May. I bet that was a professional development day. I'll look it up on their calendar, because that's exactly what happened that day. You had a guy that wanted to teach teachers how to indoctrinate students into critical race theory. So this is where, and that would actually make me more angry if they come back and say, well, this is what we did. We picked this day because this is you know, the day that the indoctrinator was available to give us our training, which would not surprise me at all. It's just annoying because I think that we need to focus on keeping the kids in the classroom. We've lost. There's another story today. Now, this is about college kids, but there are a lot of college kids that are just dropping off. They're gone.
Oh, you know,
like,
what?
1.5 million is
I'm
the number
surprised.
That I heard today.
I'm really not. When you think about it, they haven't been. The social aspect of college has been essentially shut down for a year and a half.
You know, the other thing about teaching, here's something interesting, and I'm sure that my son is being taught to be an indoctrinator, but my 21-year-old son was home. He's going to Mizzou. He's an education major. So I was asking him last night, I'm like, so what, you know, tell me about how this works and student teaching, et cetera. And he said, you know, one of the disadvantages, he was hoping, he even said this to me last night, he goes, look, maybe teaching is his calling.
Oh,
he thinks
great.
It is. Well, he thinks it is, but he doesn't know. He hasn't really done it yet. So his comment to me last night was he was supposed to be in doing student teaching far, far earlier, but because of the pandemic,
Mark,
could not do
that.
It. So there again, here's an example. You have student teachers and teachers who need to be in the classroom. They don't need to be necessarily doing a professional development day because they haven't really professionally developed. They haven't even been in the classroom. So this is going to cause, I think, less training for teachers who are trying to get into the classroom. So that's why I take a stand. I'm taking a stand against teacher development days, if you haven't recognized that here this afternoon. And if I'm the only person taking that stand, so be it, Sue.
That's
the way it's going to be. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. We have Sue's News at the top of the hour. Carl Cannon, who's the Washington Bureau Chief for Realtor Politics, is going to join us. Cusimano in the next hour. And then the Francis Howell School District Superintendent, Dr. Nathan Hovind, is going to be with us as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.